This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and welcome back to part two of the interview with Dr. Ezra Smith, who studies concussions and depression at Columbia University in New York City. There's an overlap of about 10 seconds, so we can pick up right where we left off in the people behind the PhDs.
Concussion, and these include things like headaches, depression, anxiety, concentration difficulties, some other symptoms too, but those are the big ones.
So before you continue, can you just give a very basic definition of concussion again?
Yeah, so that's actually kind of a great question. One of the things that we're trying to figure out is how to even diagnose concussion in the first place. There is no consensus.
Wow.
There are a few different medical organizations that have slightly different criteria. There is some, I guess, general idea about what a concussion is, but different medical organizations have different criteria, and there's not really any kind of one criteria that's correct. But in general, a concussion includes some altered state of consciousness at the bare minimum. So feeling like you've had your bell rung, or being dazed, disoriented, losing consciousness as a result of a hit to the head would certainly be part of that criteria too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, concussion, when we talk about concussion, we're really talking about a mild traumatic brain injury, okay? That is to say that a concussion is by definition a mild head injury.
Okay.
These are losses of consciousness or periods of disorientation that are rather brief.
So the
versus somebody hitting their head in an automobile accident and them not waking up for 3 days or something like that.
Okay. So
that would be a much more severe brain injury.
So concussion by definition, even if the definition isn't completely even if there's not a complete consensus, the definition of concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury, not a major one, such as a car accident in which you're in a coma for 3 days.
Right.
Okay,
right,
got it.
Exactly.
And so exactly. Usually
there's some general consensus, even though there's not, you know, one specific criteria.
Okay.
Set of criteria.
So there's a consensus, but not certain criteria. That's a fine distinction, but an important one. Okay. So oftentimes we hear about concussion in terms of the NFL, so American football, college football, even high school football. Why do we hear about concussion in terms of the NFL and American football so much?
Well, football is certainly, gridiron football is certainly a sport that's characterized by a high rate of mild traumatic brain injuries or concussions. There are certainly other sports that also have high rates, but gridiron football, American football, is certainly one of the more popular ones in the United States.
So
I think that's why we hear a lot about it in relation to gridiron football specifically.
Okay, so I know that in our previous conversations you've said that it's not just American football, though, where you've come across concussions. It's other sports as well. What other sports have you come across that have risks for concussions, or actually not just risks, but actually evidence of concussions?
Yeah, so certainly cycling is a sport with a high rate of concussions. People don't really think of cycling at first, but certainly cycling. Association football or soccer has elevated rates. Hockey, rugby, you know, the high impact contact collision sports are the ones where you see the higher rates of concussion for sure.
I mean, just as a, you know, the first time you told me that, I thought, well, soccer? Really? Why? You know, why? What about soccer? Because it seems like it's not the same kind of contact as those other sports.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. So I think soccer, it tends to be more incidental. in the sense that two soccer players go up for a header and they miss the ball and hit each other's heads, for example. Or you go up for a header and you fall on your head. Things like that. So it's certainly not, it's not in the same sense of like football where you're really trying to maybe take someone's head off. It seems to be the case that it's more incidental in soccer. However, having said that, it does seem to be the case that repeated headers where the head is actually hitting the ball may not be great either. They're not a concussion, but these kind of even milder kinds of repeated injuries, maybe.
Are these like micro traumas, or I don't know
if
there's...
Yeah, absolutely. Micro trauma is certainly one way you could describe them. Sometimes they're called sub-concussive blows.
Okay.
Or hits. But yeah, micro trauma, sub-concussion.
Great. So thanks for sharing some basic things about concussions and what people probably have heard about them. So why don't you now sort of tell us what you do at this point? You said earlier you're at New York City, or which university you're at, are you in a particular lab? You know, share as much as you can, obviously. And what kind of research are you doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm working at the Columbia University Hospital, New York State Psychiatric Institute, and I'm a research scientist there. And right now we're working on a project where we're studying the brain activity of individuals with depression, with major depressive disorder. And we're trying to use their brain activity to identify who will benefit most from certain classes of medications. So, for instance, not everybody responds to a psychiatric medication. People are different. We won't all respond the same to the same medication. One of the big kind of goals of this work is really to match people to specific medications based on their profile of brain activity.
Okay.
To accelerate or improve care, really. You're not having to wait going through this trial and error process with your physician, medication after medication after medication. The physician has some information that he can use to pick the medication that's best for your specific neural profile.
Okay, so this sounds like some tailorized medicine, but it's tailorized medicine based
Absolutely.
On an outcome. In this case, the outcome is an injury, as opposed to tailorized medicine towards a DNA type profile. Is that correct? This People Behind the PhDs episode is sponsored by Harp Concepts. Are you an up-and-coming artist with a bright idea? Are you a startup company who needs to prove your concept? Or are you a person who likes to personalize special gifts? Harp Concepts makes high-quality 3D models for a fraction of the price of big-name companies. Learn more at harpconcepts.com. That's harpconcepts.com.
So this work isn't related to concussions specifically. So the outcome is not an injury. The outcome is actually improvement in depression symptoms. I know. So we've been going back and forth.
That's okay.
Depression
yeah.
And concussion. In this case, what we're trying to do, we're trying to use those brain waves that'll tell us who's going to get better from an antidepressant medication, and who is less likely to get better from a certain antidepressant medication. Now, this certainly has implications for concussion too, because so many folks with concussion do struggle with depression. And just to come back around to one little point with concussion, the link between concussion and depression also is. So I was saying earlier, there's this age range, these teens is a vulnerable time.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we think does happen is that maybe the case that for some folks, they have a very mild concussion when they're a teenager. Maybe they struggle with some symptoms for a few days. Oh, I can't find my key. My memory's not as good. The neural injury, the concussive injury, may actually improve as it does for most folks, but now those feelings that I'm somehow disabled or impaired coincides with some mental health issues and can actually kind of kick off a depressive episode, for instance.
Oh, wow.
Makes sense. So these things play with each other. They're interactive.
Okay. Okay. So back to the, thanks for that aside again. So share again, back to your research. You're looking at tailoring medications for depressive symptoms. Is that what you said again?
Yes.
And then
tailorized medicine.
So
Zach would be better for this kind of medication, and Ezra is going to have a better, he's going to respond better to this other kind of medication.
Can you talk more specifically about that? Because someone at this point of the podcast might be thinking, well, gosh, I have a family member who has depression and that medication hasn't worked. So can you talk a little bit more about the state of the art and what you guys are doing as well when it comes to the medications for depression?
So I think, you know, we really are about state of the art. I don't think we have a lot of definitive answers yet in this regard about who will respond better to certain treatments. We do know a little bit. It seems to be the case that people with very chronic and severe types of depression respond better to medications. People that are maybe having a depressive episode as a result of some life circumstance, but maybe they don't have this more kind of chronic or severe kind of depression, they may respond better actually to psychotherapy than medications. And this makes sense if we take a step back and we say, oh, well, maybe, you know, this person is struggling with a divorce, or they've lost their job, or something else kind of terrible, maybe a traumatic experience has happened to them. You know, maybe it's not something neurobiological per se that's leading to these depressive symptoms. Maybe it's a change in perspective or some new lifestyle habits that would be more beneficial. That's not to say that that a medication couldn't help, but it may just be the case that one may be better than another in certain situations for certain types of people.
Okay, so what you kind of outlined is if, you know, four or five people go to an office, that they could either be medicated or not. If they're not medicated, the options might just be, well, you need to maybe see a counselor for a few months as you're going through this life transition. If there is medication involved, then there's different kinds of medications depending on the symptoms a person is coming to an office with. Is that kind of an outline?
Yeah, there are certainly a few other options too. You know, there's psychotherapy, and there's the kind of typical classes of antidepressant medications, and those are certainly kind of the frontline treatments for individuals that are struggling with depression. Those are the first line treatments. And on general, if we take a thousand.
Thanks for listening to part two of the interview with Dr. Ezra Smith, who studies concussions and depression. To continue listening to Dr. Ezra Smith, download part three at drz.net/download. That's dr-z.net/download. You can also follow me on Facebook at DRZ Podcasts and Instagram at DRZNet. As always, happy deciding.